Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In this corner, from Reading, Pennsylvania, he's smart, sassy, and definitely not a jinx. It's Matt Steinmetz. In this corner, straight out of the Yoon, he's a certified stud and definitely isn't still rocking a 92 caddy. It's Daryl, the Guru Johnson.
Hell yeah!
And now, in this corner, standing at 6'4", the pride of Frisco.
Don't you dare move a muscle.
It's Bonte Hill.
Now, it's time. And Guru on 95.7 The Game.
See, there's another issue I have with the intro. It's not only that it says Frisco, but it's like three guys in a corner. So what, we're going to fight each other? Shouldn't I just be named a referee there? And reffing this matchup between Steinmetz and Guru, it's Bonte Hill. Like, you can't have three guys in a corner fighting each other.
What is this? It's called a battle royal.
Battle royal? Yeah. No, I don't
somebody
like that.
Somebody will tap out and then you jump in. I had to Spice One beat to my
Union
City.
What's up with that beat? They gave me a weak beat from Frisco. I couldn't get no San Quinn. I couldn't get no Big Rich, no RBL Posse. Man, all right. It's all good. Bonte Steinmetz and Guru here from 10 to 12. Or 10 to 2, excuse me. I already got that
Look
crossed
at
up.
You.
10 to 2. We're 4 hours, baby. We're having a lot of fun and the big news today. A lot of news today. And when it comes to the NBA, DeMarcus Cousins, apparently the Knicks have interest in the boogeyman. But the Woj bomb we got from Adrian Wojnarowski earlier today, a Woj bomb, Kevin Durant has declined his $31.5 million player option and will become an unrestricted free agent. Sources tell ESPN Durant and his business manager, Rich Kleiman, are in New York. We saw a picture yesterday with KD and his brother. They're walking the streets of Manhattan. They were all smiles. But so far, the process of Kevin Durant on choosing a team has stayed private. So we all knew this was going to happen, Steiny.
Yeah, this part of the news is pretty much expected. He said he didn't want to sign another one-year deal. I can't help but think this is basically, though, the first tangible sign that things are going to change for the Golden State Warriors. I don't think there's any doubt about it. It feels like he's drifting away. Is what it feels like to me. It doesn't feel like he's getting closer to essentially re-signing for 5 years and staying. Like, that doesn't feel like it's realistic. I think there's a couple things going on here that are kind of important. Not only Kevin Durant saying, I'm not opting into $31 million and now I'm an unrestricted free agent. I think also what's interesting is Klay Thompson saying, I'll sit down and talk to the Clippers if the Warriors don't give me a max offer. So, look, Klay Thompson's the mellowest guy in the world, but everybody's staking their claim right now. And Klay Thompson is doing what any player in his situation would. They're saying, give me the max or I'm leaving. And it's taking all the decisions kind of away from Joe Lacob. And it's putting him in the hands of the player. And if that's the case, well, I get it. Joe Lacob now is a choice, max or not. But are you really not going to give Klay the max right now?
There's no way in hell that Klay's not getting the max. That's just how I feel. And Klay just kind of reiterated, hey, at 12:01, if the Warriors aren't at my door, Bonte, you know, I'm going to go see what the Jerry West and company have going, Ballmer. But to me, the average bear, the average fan – is taking this Durant news like he's not coming back to the Golden State Warriors. So
it doesn't seem like that.
You're right, but he still can't come back. The bridge is still there. And, you know, back in my dating days, I always was that guy. Just tell me I got a chance. And the Warriors still got a chance, but a lot of people are reacting like he's gone. And he said no. He didn't say no. But hopefully for the Warriors' sake, somehow he comes back to Golden State, takes, you know, and they got him locked up for 5 years.
Why are you laughing?
Yeah, I'm looking at him. It ain't me.
Same guy said the Giants are still in it yesterday.
I mean, he did say the Giants are in it.
I just think sometimes you got to look in the mirror.
They are still mathematically in it.
Stop with the Giants, guru.
But here's I'm telling you, they're going to win. No,
they're not in it.
All right.
They're not in it. Stop.
Just stop doing me this early, huh?
Don't just come in here early in the morning saying that the Giants are still
in it. Seven and a half out of it.
Come on, man.
It's seven and a half out of it. I'm just asking you.
They're about to gut the team,
I didn't ask
guru.
You that. I'm asking you about the math. Yes or
the
no?
Math, they're out
it's
of
seven
it.
And a half
they're,
games. They're out,
the
are
Giants,
you out of it?
With the Giants being left. Seven and a half out of it, yes, they're out of it.
Okay.
I don't care about the math. They're out of it.
You're wrong.
They're done.
But back to my point. Klay Thompson has to be and remain a Golden State Warrior. So that's got me a little shook, like, damn, Clay, for you to say that, do you and Michael, your dad, think there's a chance that at 12:01 the Warriors wouldn't be there? And then I thought about this driving in. Right, man. If they didn't re-up Klay Thompson, what would they do, Steiny, with that money, those resources, with Steph and Dre and no Klay? It just made me for a second think of the Warriors without Klay Thompson, but where would those resources go?
What's crazy, two things here. One, first with Kevin Durant, if he does stay with the Warriors, he gets the fifth year. He's going to make the full max, $221.3 million, an average annual salary of $44.3 million. Now, if he signs with the new team, he only gets to 4 years. He signs for $164 million. Now, when it comes to Klay Thompson, this is all about leverage, right? You want to leverage. You just don't want to, hey, we're going to just assume the Warriors are going to give me the max. It's leverage here. Hey, Warriors, you don't do me right. You don't do me a solid. I'm going to go talk to the guys in Southern California where I'm from. And the one thing nobody's talked about is how much pull does Michael Thompson have in Klay Thompson's decision? Michael Thompson on the broadcast for the L.A. Lakers. Longtime Laker, won two championships with them. He's always talked about he wants Klay to stay and he's going to retire and go to State Warrior. But not only does money talk, but the situation talks, right? The situation with the Warriors, if you're Klay Thompson, you're saying, all right, what's really going on up there? Kevin Durant doesn't come back. What's going to happen with Draymond? Iguodala's older. What's Steph usage going to be like? What if I do go to the Clippers or the Lakers? I'm going to have a better chance to win. What if Klay Thompson's thinking like that? Could he? I don't know. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to sign with the Golden State Warriors.
If they don't offer him the max, it's not a foregone conclusion. That much I believe wholeheartedly. Klay Thompson's, you know, and I've heard Dibley say this on the morning show, and on its surface, I don't necessarily think he's wrong. If you put Klay Thompson into a vacuum, is he a max player? Maybe not, really. Let's be honest. Maybe, probably not. But he's not in a vacuum. He's on the Golden State Warriors, and he's already won three titles, and he's your best defensive player on the perimeter, at least in the backcourt. You got to pay him. You got to pay him the max, period. And he's just saying, and listen, there's a reason I think that Durant's doing this, Klay's doing this, because they all took discounts before, and now they're saying no discounts, period. They're all saying it in their own way. And so the decision, I get it. Joe Lacob has the final decision, but he's got one of two ways. You can pay him or not. You don't pay him, good luck.
But, Steiny, you and I, all three of us have talked about it. Klay Thompson, to me, has earned that max contract for this team. And I know a lot of times we see contracts, they're paying the player for what they've already done, Bonte, right. not for what they're going to do. My point is the fact, if you look at Klay Thompson's resume and this new term, Steiny, that I introduced you to, the two-way player, I mean, Klay Thompson's a top five two-way player in the NBA, if you talk about that vacuum. So we heard Michael Thompson come on this station and say at 12:01, if they give my son what he's worth, there's not even a question, not even a second goes by that we're not going to put his John Hancock on that contract. So I'm wondering, did Klay say this or did Woj write it? Is if the Warriors didn't present him with a contract, because would be him doing
a due
diligence.
They can't present
him
with a contract right now. Klay's been saying this all year. He wants a max contract.
I'm a lifer.
And I disagree with you, Steiny. I do believe Klay is worth the max when you think about everything. He plays defense, plays hard on offense. He's tough to just guard because he runs about 3 miles a game. In the locker room, he's a good locker room guy. He's not going to cause any trouble. He's good in the community. He's marketable. All those factors there where I'm going to say Klay is, if I'm going to give a max deal to somebody, and I've seen this league, I've seen Allen Houston get paid, I've seen guys that get paid where I'm like, max? Really? Klay Thompson, I do believe. Now, there are some limitations to his game, right? His handles is a little suspect. I get it. He can't create really a shot for himself. But if I'm going to throw a max money at anybody, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, I'm going to give Klay a max, and I think he is worth a full max.
Again, with the Warriors, I think he is worth the full max. But the point is it doesn't matter if he is or isn't. You got to pay him that. And this is where the players are totally in control when you put them up against the organization. Joe Lacob ain't making any decisions right now. DeMarcus Cousins is making a decision. Kevin Durant's making a decision, and Klay Thompson's making a decision. And you got to do your best. You got to offer Klay the max. You got to offer Durant the max. Because you can't have them leaving saying, we didn't get the max. So the decision's been made. But, you know, I mean, we'll see. I mean, Joe Lacob wouldn't put a no-trade clause in Steph Curry's contract.
That's true.
Joe Lacob didn't want to pay Steph Curry the max.
Wow, he did.
So, I mean, he's a businessman. So I could see, yeah, I could see things not going as smoothly as everybody thinks they're going to go.
Yeah, but if Durant leaves, and then, you know, you didn't offer the max to Klay Thompson. I mean, how much can one team overcome? To me, I feel like they're intertwined. If Durant takes off, Klay Thompson has earned that max. He's going to get that max offer. But if Durant were to leave again, I'm guaranteeing that Joe Lacob would look around and say, I got to get Klay Thompson to keep him in a Warrior uniform.
Kevin Arnovich is going to join us at 10:20 to talk about potential changes to the NBA schedule. This is so fascinating. The NBA is thinking about having a midseason tournament and a postseason play-in tournament. How real is this? An 82-game schedule could be cut down. We'll talk to Kevin Arnovich of ESPN the magazine. He wrote the article this morning. He's kind enough to join us at 10:20 here. And also, fellas, we're inviting you and a guest to a brunch with BSNG. That's right. I guess that's the nickname for the show, BSNG, Bonte, Steiny, and Guru. That's a little long. We're inviting brunch of guests to brunch with BSNG at the 95.7 The Game Studios. We're qualifying five people per hour. So we're doing it at 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, and 1:30. That's right, 844-999-GAME. That's 844-999-GAME. We're going to do that. We're going to have people come in and watch the show with us and eat brunch. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Kevin Arnovich next here on 95.7 The Game. But first, let's go to Anna with the latest on what's happening on 95.7 The Game.
All right, thanks, Bonte. I'm requesting French toast, by the way. All right, what's coming up on The Game is brought to you by your Northern California Toyota dealers. The Kevin Durant sweepstakes is underway. Durant has reportedly declined his $31.5 million player option with the Warriors and will become an unrestricted free agent. As for Klay Thompson, the Splash Brother is reportedly very open to meeting with the Clippers if the Warriors do not offer him the max. How will this all shake out for Golden State? The guys will discuss. NBA free agency officially opens on Sunday, so keep it locked on 95.7 The Game for the latest news. Now, how would you like to have brunch with Bonte, Steiny, and Guru? Again, we're inviting you and a guest to the studio to dine with the guys. Your first chance is coming up at 10:30 a.m. Do not miss it. Again, it's brunch with BSNG on 95.7 The Game. This update is sponsored by your Northern California Toyota dealers. Toyota's 4th of July sales event is on now. Get $1,500 cash back on a 2019 Camry or low financing on the all-new Toyota Corolla or test drive the first ever Corolla hybrid. Offer ends 7/8/19. Toyota, let's go places. Coming up, could we see some major changes in the NBA schedule? NBA writer for ESPN Magazine, Kevin Arnovich, will join the show next. I'm Anna Kagadak. He's on 95.7 The Game.
Back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Bonte, Steinmetz, and Guru here from 10 to 2 p.m. on 95.7 The Game. Kevin Arnovich is going to join us shortly here. And first of all, he's a great writer for ESPN the magazine at ESPN.com, writing a lot of great content, talking about Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. And what we're going to get into next is this new proposed possible schedule change, a postseason tournament, play-in tournament, a midseason cup. But first of all, Kevin, welcome to the show, and we thank you for the time. I hear that you don't believe that these are our real names.
They don't sound like real names. It sounded like I sound like an Instagram like corgi or something. Like I was like, you're gonna be on Steinberg, and I was like, those are real names.
Well, Kevin, I will say I believe my mom was drunk when she named me. She tried to get creative, and it didn't necessarily work out. I mean, what the hell is a Bonte, right? But anyway, Kevin's joining us courtesy of the Dial Pat guest line, and we were reading your article today. And this, we've heard some rumors about this. We've heard some inklings about this, possibly having a midseason cup, a postseason play-in tournament, reducing the regular season schedule, cutting it down from 82 games. But how real is this? Is this gaining real traction inside of NBA offices?
Look, I think in the evolution of anything that became came to fruition, it started as a germ of an idea. And so here's what's going on. And it's hard. You have to be careful in a news story like this. But there's a real, you know, we always focus that there are too many games because of player injury, but there's actually, interestingly enough, inside the league, there's a belief in an economic case for a shorter season, and that is this. There are too many regular season games, and anyone who's in an arena in March, like if you ever go to a Magic game or half these arenas, like the players don't care, the fans don't care, season ticket holders are like, why do I need to go to the arena four times a week? You know, I think the four of us all grew up in a world where after dinner on a weeknight, you went into your den and you found the best live sporting event on TV and you watched it. And it didn't matter if it was Purdue, Ohio State, or an Atlanta Braves game, or whatever, you know, the local team had. And the entertainment industry is too competitive right now with Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and everything else. And there's a lot of people inside the NBA who are like, we can't keep this up. We're going to go by way of baseball a little bit. You know, they're just, aside from the load management stuff, we need more of that NFL special sauce. Well, how do we do that? If we cut the number of games, though, how do we make up the revenue? And the answer is you invent new products. One of those products, a play-in tournament. Doesn't sound like a lot, but you can sell a six-game play-in tournament in your next TV deal for between $75 and $100 million. Mid-season tournament, oh, sounds a little hokey. You know what? You can sell that for global distribution. You know, and the rest of the world understands tournaments. You know, Americans might not like, oh, the mid-season tournament sounds like European soccer. Who cares? I'll tell you who cares. The rest of the world. This happens in every sport. You sell that for global distribution. You sell that to, you know, whoever. And that makes up the revenue. So you go to the Lakers who are saying, wait a minute, why are you taking away 15 games from me or 16 games? Wait, we sell those games. Well, here's your money. And that's what's going on. But there's a real concern that there are just too many. Who needs four regular season NBA, five sometimes in 7 days? Like, who needs this? And the healthier sport would have somewhere between 58 and 64 games.
So, Kevin, how does this look? Let's say it's a mid-season tournament. Each of the teams has played 50 games, let's say, or roughly that amount. Who's participating, and what's the prize?
Well, it would be much fewer than that, right? Because like, at that point, we would probably be in a 64-game, 58, 64, 66, however you want to. I think 66.
Okay. So there's like, what, 15, 20 games left, let's say.
Right. So you know, okay. Play about 40 games. I think it's, you know, it might be, this is for discussion. Again, I mean, this started as, hey, what are your ideas? Is it maybe the six divisions each have kind of a cup where they rotate, you know, maybe it's the Warriors host it this year, and it's the Clippers, the LA team, Zach and Phoenix, and the winner moves on, or a round robin, some cup, you know, play four games each, or whatever it is. Maybe, and then you kind of move on to what would be kind of the All-Star weekend with the representative teams. Is it just a bracket? And to fill out the bracket, we bring in two European teams, you know, the two best international teams to make it 32 so that we have an even number that goes four rounds or however many that is, like, you know. And I think that's the conversation. This would be kind of maybe in lieu of or supplement to an All-Star game, which I think Adam Silver has even acknowledged, like, All-Star games kind of jumped the shark, right? Nobody cares anymore. And you still have your slam dunk and your three-point contest that can happen at your kind of final four or final five or whatever it is. So that's sort of, I think, the thought is, and because you play fewer games, you can actually stretch this over a full 8 or 9 days, which is essentially the All-Star break now.
Right.
That is generally the rationale. The play-in tournament, I think someone structured it. It's a little double elimination. Seven and eight play, or eight and nine play for the final spot. Loser drops to 10. You play early. It's something to that effect.
Right.
Where it's a six-team, and it's been outlined. I mean, I didn't break any news there. I mean, those proposals have been on the table. But I think what's new is one of the reasons these the stunts are interesting is they provide the revenue recoup that you would need if you cut games from teams' coffers, and that's the issue, is you can't just shorten the season without finding new products.
Kevin, I'm in my 40s, and, you know, I'm an NBA connoisseur. I go back to Jordan, Magic, and Larry, and 82 games was it. There was no load management. But just hearing you talk, I thought this was about, you know, the Genesis player safety, and they're playing too many games when you can look back on its history and guys played, you know, 80 games in seasons that they won championships. But I'm blown away now that this is not about that. You're saying this is about the NBA trying to keep up with the streaming services and it not to to get too much in 1 week when you talk about the five games in 1 week. As an old fogey like myself, could you see how guys like myself could not process this and think, yuck, I don't like that idea that the NBA is trying to change itself when it's at its highest popularity ever?
Well, I mean, it is. The popularity is plateauing a little bit, and I think there's some concern. You know, ratings, people are in. You can talk about, oh, LeBron in the East, LeBron in the West, whatever it is. But I think there's real concern. You don't want to be Blockbuster Video. I mean, you and I are about the same age. You know, the idea that that wouldn't have been the Friday night event in a suburban life, you know, in 20 years, you can't even find a VHS. Like, I mean, I think I give the NBA credit. They worry about these things. And again, you and I grew up in this world where, you know, after dinner, if I got my homework done, it was just like, what is the best live sporting event on? Because there was no YouTube. You didn't pop the VHS tape it like on a Monday night. That was something you did with your friends on Saturdays or Fridays, whatever. Like, that was the economy, and it was easy to get eyeballs. But I don't know that – I think indisputably even people who are very bullish on the NBA – I mean, guys, the regular season product, the last third of the season, come on. It's awful. We take it as an article of faith. It should be like this. Think about week 13 in the NFL versus March in the NBA.
No,
mean, we're sitting around. You guys are talking about award debates. Who cares? The players, you go to Oracle – everybody knows, nobody cares. They're just waiting around for the playoffs. And then you've got the other half of the have-nots are all tanking. You know, they're sitting guys who are good. You know, Eric Bledsoe finds his way out of Phoenix because they won't play him because they're trying to tank. I mean, it's a joke. And the NBA knows this. They know that the product is lousy. And then you get – and I do think there's still some – look, I think Kawhi Leonard taught us everything, which is the appropriate amount of minutes for a guy to play is probably 2,000. But this is beyond that, and that's the thing. You can debate the science, but I think there are a lot of people who are interested in the money who say, there's just too much inventory here. Let's create. The NFL's got something, and it's not just gambling. It's every game has kind of a playoff feel. You need more meaning to a game in this day and age. It's just not enough for people to just turn it on because it's on.
NBA writer for ESPN, a magazine, and ESPN.com, Kevin Arnovitz, joining BSNG, courtesy of the Dial Pad guest line. Kevin, why not just go, if they're going to propose all this, a postseason play-in tournament or a midseason cup, would the regular season be more competitive if they did away with the conferences? If they just said, you know what, the top 16 teams go to the playoffs. Now, I know everybody is a traditionalist. We're used to the East Coast versus West Coast, Western Conference versus Eastern Conference. But would it be more competitive if they just said, you know what, top 16 go to the playoffs?
Well, I'm for kind of an English Premier League, just one table. I'm cool with that. You mean I like 58 games for that reason. You get a home and home with everybody, you know, and it's 58 really, I think, creates some real meaning. Now you're playing twice a week. There's real appointment viewing. Yeah, I like that. I mean, I think the league is amenable to that. I just don't think it's a priority. I don't think, like, at the end of the day, I think when people, and I'm with you, like, the West is better, it's deeper, they should get more playoff teams. I don't think anybody cries because, like, the 14th best team in the NBA gets shut out from the playoffs. I mean, I just think that, like, the reason I don't harp on that one is I totally agree with you. Give me a referendum, like in California. Do I support that? Yeah, I support it. Do I think it's imperative? I don't think it fixes a lot other than, okay, you know, that poor number 9 team that got screwed in the West because the East is terrible. Like, they were going to lose in the first round anyway. Like, it doesn't bother me. In a way. But I'm with you. I'll support. You get a petition, you get a change.org for eliminating the conference. I'll sign that thing.
Kevin Arnovitz here on 95.7 The Game. Kevin, keep up the great work, man, and thank you so much for the time this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Anytime, Kevin Arnovitz, NBA writer for ESPN, the magazine, and ESPN.com, just joined us courtesy of the Dial Pad guest line. And it's time to qualify five people. That's right, we're inviting you and a guest to a brunch with BSNG, that's Bonte Steinmetz and Guru, right here at the 95.7 Game Studios. We're qualifying five people per hour right now, 11:30, 12:30, and 1:30. If you call the contest line right now at 844-999-GAME, that's 844-999-GAME. Come watch the show and enjoy brunch with BSNG. We're qualifying five people each hour today through Friday, so that's going to be a lot of fun. A quick reaction to what Kevin had to say before we throw it out to the phone lines.
Yeah, I'm open to changing the NBA schedule. I don't know how. Obviously, this is kind of complicated, and they haven't worked out a lot of the details. But I'm all for shortening an NBA season. I don't know what the number is, but I think 82 is way too many, always have. But then again, there's going to be so much to work out. I think we're a long way away from it, to tell you the truth.
And I ripped baseball for trying to be something it's not. You know, if people don't like it, walk away. You weren't a real fan. And I guess I'm just having a problem with Bonte. Why are they doing it? And he outlined why. And I guess, Stani, at the end of the day, I'm having a problem where you know, sports that have been around forever have to change to appease the masses and keep up with the Netflix and the right. Streaming devices. I just don't get it. 82 is sacred, and that's what it's been about. And what's wrong with it?
What's wrong with it is it's a business, and there's money at stake, period. And kids don't like baseball. So either
sure not
keep baseball
it.
The way it is and watch the sport dwindle, or try to get those fans back in the fold. Those are the two choices. You can keep it the way it is and not address it, but then when you consistently lose money, you're going to be looking at yourself like this is insanity. We just keep doing
and
the same thing.
And is that what the NBA's right. – are they losing money now?
Because I think he talked about money.
Yeah, I'm like the popularity. And again, I'm just going off social media. I don't have the ratings. But I'm like, man, this thing might be catching the NFL.
And I do wonder if players would want to participate in the midseason cup. If you're a one seed, right? You're a one seed in the NBA. You get this midseason cup going on. And you're like, we're playing for a trophy. How serious am I going to take this midseason cup?
Well, I don't know what the reward is for it.
A trophy, money? I don't know what it is. A bye week? Do you already clinch?
Maybe something like that.
Do you clinch a playoff spot by winning a midseason cup?
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking, you know? Something like that.
But again,
there's so much to work out. And with this midseason cup, and I would assume it would involve all 30 teams.
Wow.
Okay, so they have a midseason tournament.
He also talked about having two teams from Europe participate in the tournament, which would be kind of fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't.
Whoa.
I don't understand what the, what the reward is. So you have a 32-team tournament, and I'll tell you right now who's going to win it. Either Toronto would have won it last year, or the Warriors would have won it. Maybe Milwaukee could have won it.
Right.
But then, okay, what does that team get? Warriors get a bye in the first round?
And what about the stats? Right. Leading scorer, or the leading scorer of the tournament, which didn't mean nothing because it wasn't a real tournament. They got a lot to work out. Let's hope we don't see it anytime soon. That's me.
I don't know about the midseason cup, but the postseason play-in is kind of fun. That would intrigue me. A 7-8-9 seed playing for that play-in spot, or 9-10 team playing for a spot in the playoffs. That's intriguing, but again, it's complicated.
Don't we see that now with the 8-9-10?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I mean, exactly. I don't know. This is complicated, man. I think it's going to be years until we see a change to the 82-game schedule. Let's go out to the phone lines, fellas. 888-957-9570. Give Bonte, Steiny, and Guru a call. Let's go out to Danville and talk to Mo. He wants to talk about Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. What's up, Mo? Hey, Mo, you there? All right, Mo, sleep at the wheel. Put him on hold. Let's go to Hater Proof in San Francisco. Hater Proof, what's happening? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up?
I wanted to talk about KD really quick, but Bonte, I got to disagree with you about what you said on Klay, man. He's improved himself every year of his career, and he can. At first, he wasn't able to create for himself and dribble and all that, but he's improved himself a lot in that aspect. He can create for himself on the post. He can dribble and pull up. So he's definitely a max player to me. But KD, I don't know. I'm normally Mr. Positivity when it comes to KD, but I think, man, going to New York, you know, single man in his 30s, I'm born and raised here in the Bay Area, and I always thought San Francisco was the best city in the world. But, man, when you go to New York, man, it's a whole nother beast, man. A single man with the world at his fingertips, I don't know, man. I think it's a wrap. And plus, you can tell by the draft picks, you know, with Pascal and Smiley Geach, those are guys that can potentially take KD's spot in the starting lineup.
Thanks for the phone call, Hater Proof. What do you think?
I think he's gone. I've said that all year.
Do you?
Yeah, I've said it all year. Why would it change? And again, it's just what I've heard all year, and that's what I think. If it's something I'm wrong about, well, that's why I didn't say, take it to the bank, Kevin Durant's leaving. It's my feeling. I think he's leaving. I might be wrong.
And speaking
but I think
of,
he's gone.
I thought he was coming Iggy back Bonte, at the media day.
Forget the book. Didn't he make a comment last week that he thought
KD was resigning?
Nobody's going to the Knicks?
Yeah, I can't. I don't know how serious I could take Andre Iguodala.
Thank you.
Okay. I just can't, man. I can't.
And I love Dre. Did he burn some bridges yesterday, Steinie? And if he did, whose?
Who knows? Who knows what Iguodala's trying to accomplish? I just can't take him seriously.
I just think that Iguodala is in a position where he doesn't even – what he's doing – he doesn't even consider burning bridges.
Because that made the rounds.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
He really cares if he gets traded.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care. And that's why, listen, Iguodala is a champion, but that's why I don't think he fits on this team next year. I don't understand what his role will be.
Mm.
And I just think if you're going into the season saying, let's give this a run, Dre, Steph, Iggy, or Iguodala, it's like,
that's what I told you. 30 minutes for Iggy.
That's not good. That's not good enough.
You don't want Iguodala playing 30 minutes a game in a regular season.
Wow. By the way, somebody texted and said, you know, what's my rationale for not saying Clay's a max player? I'm not saying he's not a max player. I said he's not necessarily a max player. I think you have to offer him the max if you're the Golden State Warriors, because that's the position you're in. But when we talk about like Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, I do not think Clay's in that caliber, in that echelon. I just don't. It's like, well, for example, I think he needs help. I don't think Clay makes teammates better, all right, like Curry makes teammates better, or even like Durant makes teammates better. Doesn't mean he's not a good player. He's a hell of a player. But that's why I would think there's a chance that he's not like an automatic max guy.
And we talk about systems and fits, Bonte. But if you look at AD and LeBron in L.A., and they're already supposed to win it next year, what would they pay a guy like Klay Thompson, which they don't have much of on that roster? I mean, Steinie, they would throw everything they possibly could at a guy like Klay, but yet that's a good system that fits him. Oh, my goodness, I could just see him eating.
Klay Thompson could fit in any system. I think he could fit in any system. He's a knockdown shooter. He plays defense. He defends the ball well.
Is he an alpha dog?
To Steinie's point, no, I don't think he can make his teammates better. We've seen examples of him playing without Steph or without KD. And if you want Klay Thompson, and who was the caller? Hater Proof, who just called in. It's not that I don't think Klay can't dribble, but if you want him handling the ball all game long, that's going to be problematic. Did you not watch Siakam in game one pick up Klay? He was, I can't dribble. If he puts the ball on the floor, he's getting picked. Klay Thompson cannot dribble. Now, it's gotten a lot better, but asking him to make plays for his teammates, asking him to be the number one on a team, I just don't think you'll win a lot of basketball games with Klay Thompson as your number one.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I think he can fit anywhere because of the way he plays. But as a number one, no. But if you're the L.A. Lakers and you get Klay Thompson, he's a number three. And now you got right. What he was with the Golden State Warriors.
Right.
So
man,
you're looking at a guy and a team who's maybe successful. Let's see what happens. I mean, look, we may be talking about something that's a non-issue because the Warriors have a contract for Klay Thompson written up right now for 5 years and the max they can give him. If that's the case and they give it to him, I mean, what more can they do?
Right. He's not going to leave. I can't see him leaving after that. By the way, on the Chilton Autobody text line, from the 925, he is mad at Iguodala. He's just trying to sell his book. I am all for trading him. Warrior fans starting to turn a little bit on Iguodala after his appearance on a Breakfast Club yesterday with Charlamagne and God in New York City.
Yeah, there was just so many subliminals, and I believe the timing was bad. And yet, you know, you give me a pat on the back, and then you say you know, things like pressure and you know, culture. I don't know what that was yesterday, but I'll tell you this. It fed to the narrative of why Durant, if he doesn't sign, why, you know, how that was all handled. And I thought, Steiny, that was horrible timing.
I think I said you should trade him 5 days ago before he said anything like this. I just don't think he fits with this team right now. Forget what he said on his book
man.
Tour, to tell you the truth. I mean,
because to me, Steiny, if I'm coach, Dre, your roles change. What is it, coach? 30 minutes a game.
Yeah, you can't do that.
He won't do that.
He won't do that. He barely survived.
Don't you understand? Like, players have the clout. He'll just shut it down.
Right.
He will just shut it down.
You know, there's players in the league that we watch throughout our lives who, if they get a nick on the elbow, if they break a fingernail, they're not going to play. They're just not going to play. They're like, you know what? I don't feel right. I'm not playing. Is Iguodala one of those guys where if something's just nicked up just a little bit and he's like, I'm not going to push it? Is he one of those players where if you try to force him to play, he's like, no, I'm not. I'm not going to do it.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say, like, it's more that he knows when his body is in his, like, perfect shape. Like, he is one of these guys that, like, if his elbow's bothering him, he won't necessarily not play, but he just won't be the Iguodala. Like, you need everything. He reminds me a little of Barry Zito. Remember how Barry Zito couldn't go to the bullpen because he had a routine when he started, and he could never be the long reliever, and everything had to be perfect, and you're just like, what? Just go out and play.
Right.
Just go out and pitch whenever. Right. Iguodala's kind of the same way. He needs everything set up well. And if you do that heading into a game, he's going to be perfect, or he's going to be really good. But he does like when he feels really. Baron Davis was the same way. They want to be perfect before they go out on the floor physically.
All right, we're going to talk more Warriors here. Could DeMarcus Cousins be wearing a different uniform next season? We'll talk about that. And that's all brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
Back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
My information is that he would be very open to going to sit down with are the Clippers. And if Kawhi Leonard, if they have a chance to be able to sell Kawhi Leonard on a partnership with Klay Thompson, you know, certainly that's an appealing sell for any free agent and vice versa.
That was Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN breaking some news there yesterday. Not really news. We know if the Warriors don't offer Klay Thompson and Max, he's probably going to take meetings with the LA teams, the Lakers and the Clippers. So I can't imagine a situation where the Warriors don't offer Klay Thompson and Max. But what happens with DeMarcus Cousins? What does happen with the boogeyman? 888-957-9570. We're hearing reports from Mark Spears of the Undefeated that the Knicks have interest in DeMarcus Cousins, DeAndre Jordan, Markieff, and Marcus Morris. Is Cousins worth $12 to $15 million the Knicks would have to pay for him? I mean, I don't know. But you look at the Warriors situation, and you'd love to get DeMarcus Cousins back with everything that's going on for next season.
I actually think Cousins is more likely to leave than Durant, even though I'm pretty sure Durant's gone too. I think DeMarcus Cousins, if you were an NBA executive and you really did your homework this past year, you would absolutely offer DeMarcus Cousins more than $6 million a year. If you watch the Warriors all year, you'd know that when he came back from injury, he had some ups and downs, but he had stretches where he was pretty darn good. And then he got hurt, completely unrelated. And you know what? He came back. He came back when he probably shouldn't have come back, and he gave him what he could give him, and it actually helped the Warriors win a couple games. I don't think he's a tier one free agent, but I'd be shocked if he comes back to the Warriors on a $6.2 million?
6.4 or something like that.
I'd be shocked. Yeah. I'd be shocked because there's so much money out there. Somebody's going to say, DeMarcus, how about 2 for $25? And it's over. He's got to go for that price.
And now that Klay and Kevin Durant are dealing with what they're dealing with, it's not, Steiny, a championship just waiting for you. So I'm going to take a pay cut to come back and be, I don't want to be negative, mediocre. And
well,
you're
talking about they're going to be in the running for – they're going to be competing in the West.
Yeah,
so
but,
you've been saying that all week.
But it's not a slam dunk as if Clay and Kevin Durant were back. It's like I'm taking a pay cut knowing I'm going to be in the finals, you know, or, you know, an upset if I'm not there. And for the Knicks, your boy Cousins is – he's Shaq to the Knicks now. I believe he's David Lee to what he was to the Warriors to prove to the world, you know, before KD makes his announcement – dude, people are laughing at the Knicks like it was supposed to be Kyrie and KD or Kawhi. Now it may be nobody. He is Shaq O'Neal compared to what they got on that roster now. And then let's just say they do land Cousins. And then Durant says, I'm taking my talents to New York. Yeah, you got to wait a year. Then you're looking like when you look at the Knicks, okay, Cousins, we got a resemblance of what was going on here in Golden State. But without Cousins, the Knicks strike out, it would just be bad, and they're already getting beat up like a pinata. So to me, if I'm the Knicks, I'm overpaying, rolling the dice. Like, hey, we got a free agent, DeMarcus Cousins, and his resume of injuries, but damn.
It does feel like Cousins, though, the best fit for him would be with the Golden State Warriors. The culture, you got Steph Curry there. He talked about it after Game 5. It's bigger than basketball with this organization. It's bigger than basketball.
Has the culture taken a hit?
A little bit from the outside noise. If you look at all the noise on the outside, yeah, the culture has taken a
How
hit.
How so?
Because of the injuries. Because of the way the injuries
were
dealt.
Because of what Iguodala said yesterday.
And what Iguodala.
Now, that's the million-dollar question. And, Steiny, I'm going to answer your question is, I'm going to wait to see what Kevin Durant does. And if he doesn't resign, then I would feel like, you know what? For somebody to make that statement that it's taking a hit, Bonte, talk to me.
But he wasn't – He was scheduled to go all year, and everybody said from the beginning of the year, he's probably gone. So the reason he was leaving the second week of the season had nothing to do with what's going on with the medical staff.
Yeah, I didn't think.
So that's, I think he's gone no matter what.
I thought KD was staying after media day. Not going to lie to you. Look at him.
That early.
Looked him in the eyes after that interview we did at media day, and I thought he was staying. He talked about being on a team. He was going in depth about screen setting and, you know, here we're appreciated and it's about championships. It's not about individual awards. I'm like, man, KD is really bought in. He really wants to retire a Warrior. And then early November happened at Staples Center with Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. And then from there, Kevin Durant just didn't seem like the same guy he was the first 2 years in the Bay Area. But you brought up Andre Iguodala, Steiny. Let's play this sound. Andre Iguodala, it's a minute 42 seconds here. Minute 42 seconds, so stay patient. Here's Iguodala, nice little quote here on the Breakfast Club, talking about the Warriors taking blame for KD's injury, his injury. Here's Andre Iguodala on the Breakfast Club yesterday.
Do the Warriors organization take any blame for what happened to KD? Or should they? Because you're talking in the book about, you know, sacrificing your body for these organizations.
So that's a really good question. I don't think his injury was the reason before the other injury, because the way the body set up, the calf should have went out first before the Achilles. So that was like an active guy. Like the Achilles was just going to go out no matter if he was injured before that or not. But I talk about in the book, you know, what's your body worth? You know, all I hear is play 1 year longer than you can. But at the same time, it's like y'all want to have a certain lifestyle when I'm done playing. You know, them knees go quick.
So you don't think the Warriors had any responsibility with maybe pushing KD out there too soon?
That's a tough part too. You think about it. We have a really good training staff. I'll give credit where credit's due. Our training staff is one of the best in the world, and I feel like they got them back. The tough thing is when you're an athlete and you're hurt, everybody's looking at you sideways.
Mm-hmm.
And then being his teammate is harder because everyone's feeding stuff in our head when KD coming back,
And the fact that it's the finals.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Last year happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
I missed the last three games of the Houston series. It goes to game 7. We barely get out of that series. And now they're looking at me like, when are you coming back? And I had a fractured leg, but it's being put out there like he got a bone bruise. So I'm fighting with the team. I'm fighting with people. I'm fighting with the media. And then my teammates ask me every day, how you feeling? So with Kay, he getting it from everywhere, too. Like, how you feeling? Not just from the team, but from family or from, you know, people close to him. You know, this our moment. This our stage. You know,
right.
This don't last forever. And what they'd always say in sports, oh, he was a tough guy. He played through injuries. You know, you're validated as an athlete if you win a championship or how tough you were.
Now, yesterday, everybody said that he was down on the Warriors training staff, and the Warriors training staff was taking a hit as if they couldn't be trusted. But you heard early on in that clip, Andre Iguodala saying, we have a really good training staff.
We have one of the best training staffs in the world.
Then why would you go to where he went?
Because it's a systemic thing. It's not just unique to the Golden State Warriors. It's something he's seen over his career in Philly and in Denver. That's what I think. And I think him saying we got the best training staff in the world is just something you say before you let the cat out of the bag about what you really think about the league. Because I don't think, in essence, he was calling out the Warriors training staff. He's just saying it's the way it is in the league. Everybody does it.
They do it in every sport too, right? Baseball, football. This has been going on for years. They always hide injuries for competitive advantage.
Okay, so because that's where I was going. A bone bruise and then a fracture.
Yeah, that's wild.
That's like Stoddy. That's 180 twice. So, you know, I'm no doctor, but when you say a bone bruise, but they a fracture, but the team puts it out there, I'm like, okay, gives them a compliment. And then kind of puts it out there. If I'm driving around, I'm like, oh, whoa. Like, forget trying to trick the other team. I'm thinking about the athlete. Like, should he have been playing on a fracture? But they're telling you it's a bone bruise. I don't know. It was just, it was peculiar.
You know, the other thing about Iguodala and what he's saying here is he's an interesting messenger, to tell you the truth, because nobody tells Iguodala when to play and when not to amazing. Play, except wow. Andre Iguodala. That's kind of that's his cynicism. That's his 12, 14 years in the league. He's gotten to the point where he will not be told to play by the man. He won't. He will determine when he plays. And, like, he's one of the few players in the league that has the juice to do that. So that's why I think it's interesting coming from him, because he's the one who has – like, I don't think anybody's got more control over their own future in terms of playing time and role and all that stuff than Iguodala.
And a lot of people on the Chilton Autobody text line are getting on us about, quote-unquote, turning on Iguodala by talking about trading him. Look, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything for you guys out there. I'm just trying to keep it 100 here. I'm trying to keep it 100% on 95.7 The Game with Andre Iguodala. If you look at the team currently constructed, and you got all these rookies, and it may be a rebuilding year, it may be. It just may be. Do you really want Iguodala around where he's like, yeah, I'm not going to play. I want to play. He has an expiring contract. Like, why not explore trading him? I know he's a champion. I know what he does. He's a Swiss Army knife, no doubt about it. But if you're not going to be in a running for a championship, how do you not explore trading him?
Well, you got a guy named Steph Curry, Draymond Green. And if they're listening to all the naysayers, talking heads like ourselves say the Golden State Warriors next year without moves that are made and haven't been or some that are coming, that they're not in it, you know, that's a slap in their face. And just to piggyback off what you said, Bonte, everything has changed since the injuries. Who knows if Andre goes to the team like, I know things are different. You guys are, you know, you're backed against a corner, Steiny. I'm okay with you exploring a trade to where I can go and be and play 20 to 25 as opposed to, you know, guys like me popping off saying we got to run them out there starting to play 30 or 32 minutes. I guess everything's on the table now, and it wouldn't be such a bad thing if you approached or if the Warriors approached Andre like we could get something for you and get you to a team that could compete.
Steiny, how do the Warriors feel right now? How do you think the Warriors feel with Andre Iguodala coming out and talking like that in a Breakfast Club? He's just keeping it real. And I appreciate and respect Andre Iguodala for telling the truth. But how do you think the Warriors brass feel about what he was saying yesterday on the Breakfast Club?
I'm sure they're not happy about it. But again, I do think if you play the whole thing, to me, he isn't singling out the Warriors training staff. He was given an anecdote about what happened last year. I guarantee he's got an anecdote from Denver. He's got anecdotes from Philly right. about the same thing. So I didn't take it as a personal shot against the Warriors and their medical staff. To me, this is kind of what Iguodala is all about in the stuff bigger than basketball. Like, these guys, meaning the sport, the management, the league, want you to sacrifice your body, and they don't really care about the consequences afterwards. And he's a player who's saying, I got enough juice in this league
right.
where nobody's going to tell me that I have to do something that may jeopardize my future after the game.
And oh,
go ahead, Guru.
No, I was just saying, Looney came back when we thought he was out. We saw Clay. We saw KD. It was amazing. The
Damian
bravado.
Jones.
Damian Jones. It was the episode of MASH. They came back. So you know, is that part of the culture? They were playing for their teammates, giving their bodies up, and we saw how that played out.
You are listening to 95.7 A Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. It's Matt Steinmetz, Daryl Guru Johnson, Bonte Hill, taking you up until 2 p.m. And by the way, before we take some phone calls here, 888-957-9570, how you guys feel about the name BSNG? You answer that, Steinmetz? I know the text line was saying BSNG. Yeah.
I don't care.
Sound like a drink. What you need? Give me a BSNG.
Sounds like a terrible drink.
Yeah, I don't. You know, and just quick getting back to Iguodala. I'm looking at his numbers here. All right, first of all, he's played 15 seasons in the NBA. 15. All right, let me give you the games played early in his career. I'm going to start with his rookie year. 82, 82, 76, 82, 82, 82. So in five of his first six seasons, Andre Iguodala did not miss one game. Now, I'll work backwards from the back. 23 minutes a game, 25 minutes a game, 26 minutes a game, 26 minutes a game. Andre Iguodala is not playing 25 minutes or more next year. Don't you see? This is the back end making up for the front end.
Right.
It's what he has put himself in a position to do. And he's made himself so valuable to the Warriors, they're fine with 23 minutes a game.
And you talk about his first five seasons, six seasons. The one season he didn't play 82 games, he played 76.
Exactly.
So and plus the playoffs, because the Sixers are always in the playoffs with Iverson. They're always in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Yep. And you look at the scoring averages, you're asking Iguodala to play 30 minutes a game. What is he going to average for you? Because if he's playing 30 minutes a game, you need some buckets. You need buckets, and look at his scoring averages. He's averaged less than six last year, 6 points a game in 2017, 7.6 in 2016-17, 7.8, 9.3.
It wasn't dire that they needed those points. Now it is. So, Steiny, I know you're saying he's unapproachable in regard to, hey, Andre, I know it's your last year in your contract, but, man, you know what time it is.
What time is it?
We might need 5 to 12 more minutes from you.
I can't give you that. I flat out cannot give you that.
Well, period. What about this? Andre, would you try? Can we see you?
Yeah, you know what? You know what? Yeah, I'll try. I will try.
Okay, for real, because we're asking Draymond, who, oh, offense isn't his expertise, and you're right. But now, with the situation we're in now,
he's 35 years old. This will be his 16th year in the league. And now you're going to say, we need you to play more minutes per game.
He's not in
Don't
a
you realize
though,
he's going to be worse?
I'm with you.
He doesn't even shoot the ball now. I mean, he doesn't fit on this team right now.
Iguodala's going to be 36 years old next season. You think he's going to get up for a game against the Phoenix Suns on a Tuesday night?
Wow,
hey,
Iggy,
we need 30 minutes from you tonight. We need about 20. We need you to handle the rock a little bit. Yeah, sure, whatever. You think he's going to get up for the Minnesota Timberwolves? You know, the bottom-feeding teams in this league at 36 years old? That's asking a lot from Andre Iguodala. That is. And you're not going to get the production you're expecting. Now, you could look at the contract and say, well, he's making $16 million a year.
Joe Montana.
All that stuff. But Iguodala's a different dude. He knows what's on the line. He's going to try to get another contract and ride out into the sunset. You ask Andre Iguodala to give you 30 minutes a night next season.
He just
you're
won't
not
do
making
it.
The playoffs.
He just won't. He also won't do it.
Right. Not going to make the playoffs.
See,
I shouldn't say that. He won't.
Okay.
But he'll do it. And then he'll do it again, and then he'll say, my knee doesn't feel right. I need to take 2 weeks off.
Yep.
Let's be honest. That's what's going to happen. And I'll say this too. If Steph Curry and Draymond Green play next year, basically play seven.
Spring is a time of renewal. So why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.